Today's sustaining member question is about hosts who have the most.
Dear Lizzie and Daniel, thank you so much for the amazing podcast. I look forward to listening every week. I have a question that's a bit of a variation on something you addressed in episode 218 about insisting on cooking the entire meal. My partner and I love to host parties. Sometimes we host potlucks, but at other times, my partner enjoys putting together a full menu to fit the occasion. We try our best to make it clear on the invitations when food contributions are wanted. The problem is that we have very generous friends who disregard our instructions and show up with food anyway. This can throw the carefully crafted menu out of balance. Additionally, I have several food allergies that our friends are not always great at accommodating in their unnecessary contributions. They often leave the leftovers, and then we're stuck with food that we don't want and I can't even eat. My partner is frustrated as he has tried to keep his wording explicit and polite in invitations. We have plenty of food. Please bring a beverage to share. Or your company is all we need, but if you would like to contribute, please ask. He feels like he might have to start writing, "Do not bring food to our house," on the invitations, which of course seems very rude. Is there a better way to communicate when we really don't want food contributed to a party? Is there a way to politely decline food, especially that I'm allergic to, once a guest shows up with it? I hate worrying about it contaminating other food and the serving implement we inevitably end up providing, and then throwing it out after they leave. Thank you so much, ungrateful host.
Ungrateful host, you don't sound terribly ungrateful to me. You sound like you're...
exasperated and frustrated, maybe, but you're not. I think you just are. This is just a problem. Let's fix it.
And I think the best way to fix it is to be persistent. You're doing the right things. Continue to do those things. Keep giving clear direction. For me, I was starting to think about ways that you then start to up the stakes as the persistence requires that.
Wait a second. Clear communication? I think there's one thing you're missing here, cuz. There's a line in here that says, your company is all we need, but... if you would like to contribute, please ask. Now, I understand that the please ask is there, but even just mentioning that you're maybe willing to have someone contribute, I think is opening the floodgates with your friends.
You are cracking the door.
Okay.
You're sort of inviting someone to peek in, maybe stick their foot in, maybe start to pry that door open. You had a great analogy about it being like breaking up with someone and then saying you'll call them or asking them to call you.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually end things.
Exactly.
I see where there's a little daylight there that you might want to eliminate, particularly if this problem continues. At the same time, the communication is there. You're saying you don't have to bring anything. If you do want to bring something, please talk to me about it. When you remove that ambiguity, you start to set your guests up to participate in a better way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I do want to give our listeners the suggestion that at some point, it's okay to be really clear. Like when you've said, no, please don't bring anything, and you haven't done any of this kind of, and if you choose to, you know, call us type language, but you just make it really clear, no, please don't bring anything. If people offer, you say, no, really, we just want you to bring yourselves. Please don't show up with anything. We've got it covered. And then if they do, that's when you have the opportunity to say, I'm really sorry, but because of cross-contamination, we really are trying to keep down the number of times gluten is showing up in our kitchen or something like that. And you say, I feel so bad that you made it because I love it, but we can't have it in the house. I'm going to put that out there as an option because I think at some point you really are dealing with that. And because look, they're leaving the food, they're not willing to take it back home with them. If cross-contamination for an allergen is your issue, this is really serious and it can cause a lot of problems.
This is a place where I was having a debate in my mind.
What were you debating?
The turning down the thing that someone brings. Mm-hmm. And I started to draw these lines in my head. I said, well, a hostess gift, whether it's soap or candles or some sweets.
Oh, would not turn that down at all.
You got to take it.
Yes,
and
correct.
Then, but then there start to be gifts that are borderline. It's like, well, are some sweets that could be served as dessert a contribution to the meal? Or do they go into your cupboard? You just hold on to them?
Gift territory.
And I'm leaning towards that side of that line on that one. Okay, flowers, hostess gift. You're going to take it. You're going to receive it.
Absolutely.
Oh, but it's a flower with a strong scent that you don't like. Or
put it in the guest room. Sorry.
If it's too strong and it really makes you ill, maybe that starts to cross over into that it's an allergen territory. Safety trumps etiquette. And you could say, no, thank you.
When we are talking about an allergy and something that is going to make you ill, If the flowers can be in a different room in the house, I think that's okay to accept and then just deal with them as you would, you know, because you are the host and you get to decide where this thing is going to live in your house. But I think that if it's any flowers in the house make your nose itch to the point, I think you have to turn it down. We say safety supersedes. And so I think we have to run with that. But oh my gosh, you are so sweet to think of this. And they're so, so beautiful. Unfortunately, the pollen makes me absolutely blow up. My eyes are even starting to itch and water right now. They're gorgeous. Do you mind if I put them in the den or in the such and such for now? Thank you so much.
Or let's put them back in the back seat of your car and you can take them home and enjoy them. If you really can't. If you're crossing safety trumps etiquette line, and that's where I start to say, it's not just important whether it's a gift hostess gift or a food contribution gift, but are you being honest with yourself about what's a preference, what's a real allergic reaction? And I would also – and this is where I wanted to sort of challenge Cousin Lizzie just little bit.
Yeah, challenge me.
If you've got a peanut allergy, you can't have peanuts in the house, I think you're going to say no. You're going to say no, that dish can't cross the threshold. In fact, I'm going to ask you to go put it back in your car right now. I think there is some gray area territory, and the thrifty New Englander in me – wants to say waste not, want not. If you're not going to eat it, ask them to take it home so that they can enjoy it. Is it a preference? Do you really keep a kosher kitchen or do you have no meat in your kitchen because of really strongly held religious or political beliefs? Or is it just that you would rather not, but you could deal with it if
our question asker is in a serious allergen. She's got issues about contamination and the implements that are being used to serve. So that's why we're addressing that issue here today, that it is a severe line. I think that when you have a beautiful French dinner cooked up and someone shows up with a very different style, flavor, type cuisine as a side dish, that you generally just simply say, okay, and you serve it and you thank someone for their contribution, it'll be real clear to everyone around the table that it does not fit the meal at all. And I think that you let that hang in the air the way that it does and you just leave it there. That's the part where I'm like, if it wasn't an allergy issue, if it wasn't a concern, but we have friends who constantly ignore this person's allergy issues. They bring food by when they're not asked to, even when they're suggested and told not to and to bring a beverage instead. And so I think that for this particular question, we're very much so in good stead refusing certain foods coming into the home. I think that when you guys do these invitations, because you are changing a little bit the way that you're going to be accepting and handling folks, and you are going to amp up these invitations on their clarity a bit, I would say, hey, guys, we are really recommitting to making sure that Joan's allergy, ungrateful host's allergy, Jim's allergy, whoever's writing
in. Not so ungrateful host's allergy.
Isn't going to be an issue in our own home. So we are going to say, please do not bring any food. And we really need to ask you to stick to this. We are going to turn food away from now on if it doesn't fit what's going to keep our house safe for us to eat in. That's the kind of conversation you can have over time with your friends. But I think it's an okay one to prep them for the idea that we are going to start refusing food if it's not the right food to come into our house. But I agree. If you're not in this situation, I would be much more likely to just take in whatever dish that comes, ignore the fact that it's going to totally throw off the menu that I've planned really well. That's just, you got to take it sometimes and it just happens.
Ungrateful host, I so don't want to call you an ungrateful host because I don't think you're an ungrateful host. I think you're doing a great job hosting. I think you're doing a lot of work to set up these meals in a way that everybody can enjoy them.
I would totally want to be invited to these parties, and I promise I won't bring anything you're allergic to. I won't bring anything.
I think with just a little bit of polishing, a little bit of firmness on that invitation, you're going to be in great shape and you're going to enjoy many wonderful meals to come.